I'm not going to tell you a story, but I really am glad to see you all stuck by. You're talking about marathon saints. I have this every weekend. Well, I flew out of here last weekend, arrived home at 7 o'clock Sunday night. My wife had supper ready. We sat down and ate supper, and I passed out in the bed and got up Monday morning, 8 o'clock, to work. And last Thursday was a week ago. I was invited to teach a Bible class from 12 to 12:30 at the place where I work. These people, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, had been meeting together for Bible study that I had no idea that was going on, and they invited me to teach them starting Monday the spiritual significance of the earthly sanctuary. And we go from 12 to 12:30 every day. That's all we have for dinner is 30 minutes. So I miss my dinner. They eat while I talk. And I had to prepare for these classes, you know, at night. And there was two new sermons I wanted to work up. And you don't sit down and write a sermon up in 5 minutes. If you think you do, you're a fool. I tell you, some of them takes me 6 months to come up with. And you have to have time for your family. I mean, let's not forget that. Then I worked 2 hours yesterday morning, drove to the airport, flew up here. And next weekend, the whole thing all over again. But I love it. There's something about doing the Lord's work that brings satisfaction to you. Praise the Lord. I want you to pray for this group I'm studying with. Two of them in this class have been among my worst enemies. They're Pentecostals. And if they saw me witnessing to anybody on the job, just as soon as I left, you know, they hit it right to them. Don't believe anything he says. You know, he's cracked. He's lost his mind. He's joined a funny bunch that worships on Saturday. Don't believe a word he says. And here they are, two of my worst enemies, sitting in this Bible class. And I thought of the text there in Revelation 7. I will make them that are the synagogue of Satan come and worship at your feet. And really, that's what they're doing. They're drinking. They're sitting there with mouths open, drinking in things that we think is first-grade material. And they're just thrilled to death with it. Pentecostal Sunday school teachers ordered the book, The Path to the Throne of God, where she can teach her Sunday school class what we believe about the heavenly sanctuary. And they think it's coming out of the Bible, you know, which it is. They've been asking questions. What is a scapegoat? What does a scapegoat represent? Tell us about the Day of Atonement. What is Jesus doing in heaven right now for us? And Thursday, after the class was over, one of the ladies that's in the group, she says, is there any way you can postpone leaving till after dinner Friday? We don't want to miss our class. We're just enjoying it too much. A new day we're living in, where people are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And we have the truth, as this brother said, it's the best kept secret in the world. Best kept secret in the world. And let me tell you, God's going to hold us accountable for keeping that secret. That's one secret He's going to hold us accountable for keeping. Matthew 5, we're going to have to hurry on. Matthew 5, 48, everybody knows this. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Has that verse ever troubled you? Have you ever been puzzled when you read that verse? And you said, it demands perfection, and I know me better than anybody else, and I don't measure up. Oh, I read that verse many times. It's not an important, one that a lot of people desire to hear. There's all sorts of teachings floating around on perfectionism. Some have taught that there's absolute perfection available in the saints. That they themselves, in their own strength, will develop a perfect character. Cross that off your list. Others teach that no matter what you do, you can never be perfect. Nothing you do will ever be good. And that Jesus will take His white robe of righteousness and just put it over you as a cloak to hide your filthiness underneath. And it doesn't matter what you do. You've been forgiven. Jesus is your Savior. Do as you please. Cross that off of your list. Still others teach the doctrine of what they call relative perfection. And that doctrine is you will never cease to sin. Your sins will just get smaller and smaller as time goes on. Cross that off of your list. And according to some, the 144,000 will continue to sin. And they will continue to need forgiveness during the time of the 7 last plagues. Cross that off of your list. And perhaps there's other theories that I've not heard of. These are just some that I have heard of. However we look at it, the doctrine of perfection is important in the context of the nature and the character makeup of the saints. What should we know about perfection? Will the 144,000 ever be perfect? If so, in what respect? I submit to you, saints, that when Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect," that He was not only giving us a command, but a promise as well. Because, saints, Jesus has never asked anything that was impossible of us. God's servant says all His biddings are enablings. And with every command, the power is inherent within it to obey that command. Our Father has promised to change our lives, to so change our character, if we will let Him. And after Jesus ceases His intercession in the heavenly sanctuary, those who make up His chosen ones will never sin again. Follow with me, we're going to explain that. Either a known sin or an unknown sin. Because, saints, I submit to you that when our Savior ceases His intercession in the heavenly sanctuary, and when He throws down the censer, and when He says, "He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is just, let him be just still. He that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still." I submit to you, He means exactly what He says. And that when He ceases His work of mediation there, that settles it as far as you and I are concerned. Our characters are fixed. And I also submit to you, saints, that when He ceases His mediation down there, that sins cannot be forgiven after that date. And if the saints sin after probation closes, the whole picture is just warped out of view. There must come a time when those who are sealed will cease. And if we sin after the close of probation, we're counted among those that are lost. The Bible teaches that we can live without sinning after the close of probation. The Lord's servant gives us this assurance as well. But you see, my problem is, I don't see how this is possible. The Word says, "Be perfect." The Lord's servant says we can be perfect, but I don't see how it can be perfect. I want to know how many of you here don't believe that God is able to keep you from sinning during the ceaseless ages of eternity. Is anybody that believes that God can't keep you from sinning through the ceaseless ages of eternity? Well, I don't see any hands. But then we wonder, what about that short time following the close of probation and the coming of the Lord? Can He keep us from sinning as well? That problem bothered me. It bothered me for years. How in the world can there come a group of people on the face of the earth who will meet the requirements of perfection? How can they reach this level that God demands that they reached? But then I got to thinking along these lines, and I'll ask you the same question. How are we saved? How are we saved? By grace through faith. Is it wrote down anywhere that James Bishires is a saved person, signed God? Is it wrote down anywhere that I have in my hand? No. I don't have any document. I don't have any physical evidence that I've passed from death unto life. The reason that I know I've passed from death unto life and that I have eternal life is because God's Word declares that if I'm faithful and just to confess my sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins. That's where I've based my belief that I'm saved on. Jesus says, "If any man will open the door, then I'll come in and sup with him." We believe it because the Word says it. Do you understand that? We believe it because the Word says it. By faith we accept it. And if we can accept salvation by faith, why can't we reach out with the same faith and grasp the promise of perfection by faith? You see, it both comes the same way. Saved by faith, sanctified by faith, perfected by faith. The promises that our Father gives, that He can and will provide the means to keep His people while they're living following the close of probation. Oh, you know, I hear this everywhere I go. Don't you know the law? Don't you know that nobody can keep the law perfectly? Yes, I'm aware of the demands of the law. And I am aware that it must be perfectly obeyed. But I am also aware that the charge that God's law is arbitrary and cannot be perfectly obeyed is raised by an enemy of God. The Lord never said that. And if we echo those same claims, if we say the law cannot be perfectly obeyed, we place ourselves again on the side of Satan, the accuser of the brothers. You see, our problem in this picture is that we have failed to concentrating our studying on how we can do that which we know to do. We wonder about that which we don't know how to do. We should study about that which we do know how to do, and then faith will come. We've also failed this. to realize that the Bible and the inspired writing teach that the nature of man is threefold. You remember this morning the quotations that I read about the mental, the physical, and the spiritual nature, the three aspects of mankind? There's three parts, you see, of our life that have to be perfect. We've gotten so confused on this subject of keeping the law in perfection. And I hope to be able to, if not prove, overwhelm you with evidence to show that not all three of our natures can be perfect at the same time. They have to be perfect when the proper time arrives for that nature to be perfect. All right, and I'm going to throw the first one right out the window. We're going to kill it right now. We have people saying, you know, I'm perfect, my body is perfect, I'm a perfect person. But we cannot have physical perfection until the coming of the Lord. You understand? We cannot have physical perfection until the coming of the Lord. We cannot claim to be sinless until our physical nature is changed. All right? Our character, which is what? Our spiritual side of life. Our character was not perfect until probation closes. And then we're sealed with the seal of the living God. But it will be perfect at the coming of Christ. Volume 2 of the Testimonies 3:5-5. When He comes, He is not to cleanse us of our sins, to remove from us the defects in our characters, or to cure us of the infirmities of our tempers and dispositions. If wrought at all for us, this work will all be accomplished before that time. When the Lord comes, those who are holy will be holy still. No work will be done for them then to remove their defects and give them perfect characters. This is all to be done in these hours of probation. It is now that this work is to be accomplished. Now we are to be working toward this goal so that when probation closes, our characters, our spiritual natures will be stamped perfect. Volume 2 of the Testimonies, 505. As the Christian advances toward perfection, now this is the key, you see. I'm fixing to give you the key to the whole thing. As he, the Christian, advances toward perfection, he experiences a conversion to God every day. You understand that? That is how we become perfect. An experience with the Lord every day. And this conversion is not complete until it obtains to the perfection of character, a full preparation for the finishing touch of immortality. You understand what she's saying there? You're only perfect as you come in contact with Christ day by day, and His righteousness is appropriated to your account and placed upon you. And it's a day by day by day experience, a new conversion every day. And I say to you that it is now that we are to attain to this character perfection. How? By a conversion every day to the Lord. By opening up our lives every day and saying, Holy Spirit, mold me and make me after the likeness of Christ. Create in me a clean heart today, this second. I talked with a young lady that wrestled over this thing of perfection. And she said, how in the world will I ever reach this thing of perfection? I can't be perfect. And I said, sister, study the Word. Study the inspired writings. And so she came back to me in just a short while, a few days, just beaming. And her face was just, she said, I found the secret. I found the secret to perfection. And I said, well, what is it? You know, share it with me. I said, is it by experiencing the Lord one time? She said, no, that's not it. Well, is it by having, you know, a weekly experience with the Lord on the Sabbath? No, that's not it. That's important, but that's not it. Well, is it by having morning and worship, evening worship? Is that how you to reach this stage of perfection before the Lord? No, that's not it either. You know, she was just beaming. Her face was lit up. She had found the secret. I said, well, tell me what it is. How can you be perfect? She said, well, I wrestled with this thing, and I saw that I couldn't live the rest of my life in perfection. That overwhelmed me. You know, I might live 70 years, and I've got to worry about 70 years out there that I've got to be perfect. And she said, then I said, well, I can't live next week, and I can't live tomorrow, and I can't live today, and I can't live this hour, and I can't live this minute, but I can live this second. You see, that's the key to the whole thing. Second by second, moment by moment, your heart is pure to the Lord. And if you do fall and you repent, you still have perfection in the sight of the Lord. And you don't have to worry, you see, about all the rest of your life. Just worry about right here and now. That goes back to what I told you. We don't do what we know to do. We can live right for the Lord now. We're told that we are to be as perfect in our sphere as God is in His. And is He a perfect God? Is there a spot on His character? Is there a blemish on His name? Oh, I can't be like God. Well, let me tell you, saints, we're to be as perfect in our sphere as God is in His. The only difference is we have different capabilities, different capacities. Do you expect a child to do what you can do? Do you? If you do, you're demanding something that's impossible. But I say a child can perform perfectly to the extent that a child can perform. You understand what I'm saying? He can do perfectly the things that he's able to do. Perfect. You know, a perfect bloom can blossom into a perfect rose, but they're entirely different. The change is called maturing, growing up. And that's what it is. Through the sacrifice of Christ, we can have perfect justification now, and we can receive grace and power to develop a perfect character and be fitted up to receive the seal of God. And you know what's so wonderful? We have access to all the power in heaven to aid us in this work. The Lord says that He would rather empty heaven and send every angel up there to our aid than to see the weakest of His children overcome. But the question is, we don't ask for it moment by moment. First selected message is 409. Christ, by His own example, made it evident that man can stand in integrity. Men may have a power to resist evil, a power that neither earth nor death nor hell can master, a power that will place them where they may overcome as Christ overcome. Divinity and humanity may be combined in them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Here, saints, is perhaps the greatest secret as to how you and I can have a clean and a pure record in heaven today. It is in what God can do for us if we're willing to be made willing. He can give us a spotless heart right now. He can transfer the ugly guilt of our sins from us to the heavenly sanctuary and write across our record pardon, justification, right there today, right now. He can cover every confessed sin with the precious blood of Jesus now. And by our walking in the light, by our resisting every temptation through the power of the Holy Spirit, by our taking everything to God in prayer as it comes up, we can be perfect now. Not way off in the future. Now. Maybe also, this is one of the reasons why so many of us fail to obtain victory. We fail to run to our Father whenever temptations and problems arise. Oh, I know where I'm talking from. We say, well, you know, I've been a Seventh-day Adventist Christian about 10 years now. I think I can handle about anything that comes up. I think I can handle it. When we get in a situation, well, I've been grounded long enough, I can take anything on. Don't make that mistake, saints. No matter how small the temptation or trial or problem is, it's too big for you to handle. Take it to your Father in prayer. Take it out of your hands and place it in Him. Place it for His strength to handle. As I said, He would rather send every angel out of glory to the relief of faithful souls. He would make a hedge round about them rather than have them deceived and led astray by the lying wonders of Satan. That's early writings 88. Every angel? The Lord is willing to send every angel? But I say to you, just one angel is enough if you pray and ask and believe. Now back to our subject. Those who are sealed and go through the great time of trouble will have a heart that God regards as perfect. Their mind will be free of any memory of unconfessed sin. Did you get that? Their mind will be free of any memory of unconfessed sin. So if you've got sin that you haven't confessed, you better do it. Because when the censer is thrown down, that's over. We're told that the saints of God during this time, they look upon themselves as unworthy, but they cannot think of one sin that they've not confessed. It's all been confessed. They can't think of any. They'll still have a sinful physical body. That will not be removed until Jesus returns. All right, let's look a little bit closer as we hasten on at the perfecting of these different natures. First, spiritual. When we are converted, we are justified. God creates within us a perfect heart when we're converted. Right then and there, we should turn from every known sin. Quit it. Get rid of it. Give it all over to the Lord. Control to Him. We should completely surrender everything and determine by His help that we will do all that He ever asks for us. In other words, when we are converted, when we are justified, we should set ourselves apart for holy use. Lord, I'm giving everything up. I'm cleaning my life up. If there's anything that's displeasing to You, Jesus, I give it to You. Take it and do what You will with it. That's the expression spoken of in the Old Testament when the expression sanctify yourself is used. It means clean up what you know to clean up and get rid of. Lay aside everything displeasing through the Lord. And then it's all done through His power. When we do that, our guilt is removed from us to the heavenly sanctuary. And then God sets us apart as His children. That's Him sanctifying us. We turn all over to Him through His power and He sets us apart. And so day by day, our spiritual nature can be perfect toward God, as long as we recognize that it's a moment-by-moment experience. And that is our title to heaven. That's what gives us the right to be in heaven, is our perfect heart toward the Lord, moment by moment. But I say, saints, that this only comes with deep soul searching, with Bible study and prayer. It's not a one-time experience. It's a moment by moment. Every time we fall under temptation, every time we commit sin, we have to renew that conversion experience. We have to return to the foot of the cross and ask for forgiveness. And as long as that's our experience, we can have a perfect spiritual nature toward God. The secret of our obtaining this perfect spiritual nature will lie in our relying on the righteousness of Christ and asking for His power to work in our lives. The decision is ours, because Jesus cannot force any one of us to be under His control. Not only should we roll our sins upon Him and give our whole being to Him to control, but every time we are placed in a position of temptation, we should call for Him to come and help. Desire of Ages 3:10 through 3:12 tells us we get imparted righteousness by calling for the power to do right. 7 B.C. 908, sanctification means habitual communication with God. What does habitual mean? A regular thing? A habit? Something you're hooked on? And that's what sanctification is. You get hooked on this communication with the Lord. All right, that's the spiritual nature. What about our character? What we do and what we are. Romans 8, we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, after we're justified, there's still areas in our lives that's not in harmony with the Word of God. We still have bad habits, wrong desires, cultivated tendencies to do wrong. And you know, as we progress in our walk with the Lord, He reveals these things to us. Son, here's something in your life you haven't fully surrendered to Me. And as day by day we say, well, Lord, yes, I realize this and I give it up to You. Give Me Your Holy Spirit to help me to be willing to be willing. We continue this relationship and our lives grow. Remember, the Lord has told us, be ye perfect. And He has provided the means whereby we can be perfect. But the question that we face is, will we place all in the hands of our Father and trust Him for the power to resist sin? Or will we try to overcome in our own strength? Saints, when we really desire to be all that God wants us to be, then He can fill our life with victory after victory. We go from one to the other, ever higher and higher in our experience with the Lord. And every problem that we face can be turned into a stepping stone to a closer walk with the Lord if it's all in His hands. It's God's intention that the 144,000 reflect the image of Jesus perfectly, that they reject sin and Satan totally as no other has ever done before. God knows just how much each of us have to do to develop a character like this. And I say that those who desire will receive. Right now is the time for us to open our minds to the searchlight of the Spirit so that He can show each one of us just what we have to do in order to receive the seal. The 144,000 will have the will of God written in their minds. Hebrews 8:10 through 11 puts it, I will write My law in their minds so that they will know what I want them to do without My even telling them these things. You get the beauty of that? I will write My law in their minds so that they will know what I want them to do without my even telling them. And these laws will be in my heart so that they will want to obey them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This will be the attitude of those who are sealed. We want to do what the Lord wants us to do, and He doesn't even have to tell us. His laws are written in our life, and we know from experience exactly what His will is. And our minds and our hearts are committed to obeying Him. He desires to bring the 144,000 into a relationship with Him that they will be so totally committed that all the watching universe can see that Satan is a liar and that here are a group of people whose standing before the Lord is perfect. Remember the statement from Christ's Object Lesson 69 that I am so fond of using. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in His people, then will He come to claim them as His own. And I say this character will be perfectly reproduced in the 144,000. All right, as we hasten on, let's look at some of the ways that the 144,000 reflect the image of Jesus. First of all, Jesus was sealed. John 6:27. For Him, Jesus, hath God the Father sealed. The 144,000 will be sealed. Volume 5 of the Testimonies 2:13. When the time of trouble comes, every case is decided. There is no longer probation, no longer mercy for the impenitent. The seal of the living God is upon His people. Number 2, Jesus loved righteousness and hated sin. Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. The 144,000 will love righteousness and hate sin. 3 Timothy 2:6-6. The true people of God who have the spirit of the work of the Lord and the salvation of souls at heart will ever view sin in its real sinful character. They will always be on the side of faithful and plain dealing with sin which so easily beset the people of God. Especially in the closing work of the church, in the sealing time of the 144,000, will they feel most deeply the wrongs of God's professed people. 3, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended upon Him in a bodily form shaped like a dove. The 144,000 will also be full of the Holy Ghost. Volume 5 of the Testimonies 5:14. It is for you to yield your will up to the will of Jesus Christ. And as you do this, God will immediately take possession and work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Your whole nature will then be brought under the control of the Spirit. There's other qualifications of the 144,000. Their minds will have no record of sin, neither will their record in heaven. That's volume 5 of the Testimonies 2:14 through 2:16. They will have no desire to sin, early writings 27. They will be like Christ, but it's not because of some special virtue they've developed on their part, because they have determined to be like Christ. They have determined to let Him have full sway in their lives. Salvation is a cooperative work, as we learn from the experience of the children of Israel. You remember they walked up to the Red Sea. The armies of Egypt was behind them, a sea in front of them. What was they going to do? They had to put their foot in the water before it parted. You know, we can't part the Red Sea, but by faith we can walk up to the edge of it and put our foot in it. We can't bring down the walls of Jericho, but we can march around it and keep our mouth shut and shout at the right time when the Lord says shout. We cannot drive the giants out of Canaan, but by faith we can go in and the Lord will drive them out before us. God will work in and for us if we will let Him. And you know, the 144,000 will know that their fitness for heaven is not in something good that they have done. You remember in the parable that Jesus gave concerning the judgment, the 25th chapter of Matthew, verse 31 through 36. And Jesus, you know, saying, you visited the sick, and when I was in prison, you ministered to me there. And those that are standing on the right hand, they're going to say to Jesus, Lord, when did we do these good things to you? When did we do all these things? Were they zombies? Could not they remember that they visited the sick, that they visited those in prison? Were they not aware that they were doing those things? Yes, saints, they were aware that they were doing them. But they also realized that it was done through the power of Christ and that it was really Christ in them doing these things. And they said, Lord, when did we do it? You did it through us. The glory that we shone through to the world was not our own. It was your own glory reflected to us. The perfection that we manifested in the earth, it was not our own perfection. It was your own perfection manifested through us. It's only through the merits of Christ that we are able to accomplish anything. The 144,000 will have reached the goal set for them by God. The goal of spiritual and mental perfection through the merits of Christ. You know, I'm saddened when I hear some of us talk as if nobody can reach this mark. Let us remember that it is not God who says that it's impossible for us to obey Him. Manuscript 148, written in 1899. Those who say that it is not possible to live a perfect life throw upon God the imputation of justice and untruth. Those who say that it is not possible to live a perfect life throw upon God the imputation of justice and untruth. Who is it then that says that God's laws are imperfect and never can be kept? It's again none other than our enemy, Satan. Great Controversy 489. Therefore, Satan is constantly seeking to deceive Christ's followers with his fateful lie that it is impossible for them to overcome. Saints, it is possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. True. When I look at my own self and my own perfection, imperfection, I say, I don't see how I can do anything good. I can't perform one righteous act. I can't. And I agree with Satan. I don't see how it can be done. But saints, I believe that it can be done simply because God says it can be done. And He does not lie. Desire of Ages 664, Jesus revealed no qualities and exercised no powers that man may not have through faith in Him. There is the key, saints. Yes, we can overcome. We can escape the Laodicean condition. The standard is high. To be like Jesus. That's the goal our Father sets for us. But He, as I said, will do the work if we provide the instrument. We must be willing to be made willing. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. Parley not, she says with the enemy. Kill the thorns or they will kill you. Break up the fallow ground of the heart. Let the work go deep and thorough. This must be your attitude if you will be counted among the faithful living overcomers. Volume 5 of the Testimonies 53. Now I'm going to give you some hints as we close this portion of our service on how we can become perfect. Maybe that will aid you. First, there's Bible study. Sanctified Life 37. Those who claim to be sanctified, while they have no desire to search the Scriptures for a clearer meaning of what truth is, know not what truth sanctification is. You understand that? I tell you again, take no man's word as to what the Scriptures teach. Find out for yourself. So Bible study is number one on our list. Number two, pray. Daily prayer is as essential to growth in grace and even to spiritual life itself as temporal food is to the physical well-being. Daily prayer. Point number three, work, work, work. Volume 4 of the Testimonies 288. Your spiritual strength and growth in grace will be proportionate to the labor of love and good works which you cheerfully do for your Savior. You want to grow in grace? Get out and do something for somebody else. It'll do something on the inside of you. Some of our sisters have already found out and been sharing of how they've witnessed and testified to others and what it has done for them. So work, work, work. Not because you want to work to be saved, but it is the fruit of the fact that you are. And number four, I can't stress this. Overcome temptation right at the very beginning. Overcome it. If you're tempted by dirty movies, don't walk down the side of the street where the dirty movie theater is. Go another way. It's not easy. Don't go where we might be tempted. You know, that's how Eve fell away. She wandered away on Satan's ground. Expect temptation at any time. Expect the desire to go along with that temptation. You understand that? That's our human nature. When temptation comes, we say, the devil, you know, if you're not excited by nude movies, he's not going to show you nude movies. But if you're excited by them, then that's what you're going to see. So expect a desire to do that that the devil wants you to do. And expect temptations to grow stronger as the end of time comes. But our trouble is, saints, too many of us, when temptation comes after us, we crawl away from it, hoping that it'll catch up with us and catch us. We need to close the door to everything that we're weak in. We need to avoid books, TV, anything that contains material that we're weak in. Avoid it. Stay away from it. Don't play with temptation. That's dangerous. Let the Holy Ghost be in charge of your life. Don't try to overcome in your own strength. But then on the other hand, believe that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. He laid hold of the throne of God, and there's not a man or a woman here who can't do the very same thing and have access to the same power. First Selected Messages 409. And when we're tempted, pray right then. You know, if the Lord tempts you, don't say, well, you know, I got to pray about this thing when I get home tonight. Say, Jesus, I'm in trouble right now. I need help. Don't wait 1 minute. The secret of success of anyone who overcomes lies in their asking Jesus right then for help. As I said, study the Scriptures and pray, because there's power in God's Word. But let me tell you this, if you stumble and make a mistake, don't be discouraged. Christ's Object Lessons 3:32. If you have made mistakes, you certainly gain a victory if you see these mistakes and regard them as beacons of warning. Thus you turn defeat into victory, disappointing the enemy and honoring your Redeemer. If you fall in a hole on the left side of the street, walk on the right side of the street from now on. Don't fall into the same thing twice, but if you fall, realize you fall, get up and look and see what it was and say, praise the Lord, I'll not be caught by that thing again. And move on. Bring honor to the Lord. And let me tell you, this perhaps, well, they're all good, and this is good too. Remember to praise the Lord every day for what He's done in your life. That's important. Praise the Lord every day. You know, we get on our knees in prayer, and we used to be bad about this in our family circle. We'd say, God, give us a good day today. God, watch over us and protect us today. God, don't let bad things happen to us. God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. You know, that's our prayers. And we should be saying in our prayers, Lord, thank you for the blessing you sent to me this day. Thank you, Lord, for this brother or this sister who helped me on my way. Lord, I praise you because of your goodness and your glory to me. Lord, I thank you because you looked down and you saw a wretched sinner and you saw that there was some good in him. I praise your name. Parents love to have their children praise them. So praise the Lord every day for the good things that come your way. And if you can't do anything else, just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm willing to be willing. Thank you, Lord, that I'm willing to be willing. God is working with His people. He's working with you and I. There's a polarization going on in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Right now, I see two classes developed. One side, the followers of the Lord. And the other side, the Laodiceans who are asleep. He will be satisfied with nothing less than our being transformed with the perfection of Christ. When the Master Builder is through with you and I, He will be able to say, here they are. Here they are that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Here they are without spot or wrinkle, faultless before me. Angels, go and get them and bring them home. Shall we pray? Father dear, we've had an exhausting day so far as we've looked into your word concerning the living overcomers, the 144,000. We've discussed various aspects. And we know that we've overwhelmed these people with material. And Father, that really is our purpose, to overwhelm them, to give them things to think about, to discuss, and things to study. And we pray, Father, that they will be motivated to dig into the word and to make these things theirs because they've proved them for themselves. And Father, we pray that when you come to gather up your gems, that each one of us will be among the 144,000, your chosen people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.